Last Saturday, we spoke on the subject that we titled Treasure in Heaven, and I believe that it was an enlightening time for most of us. For me, it was. And that's the way the Word of God is. There is something I just want to... Let's read a few portions of the scripture that we are starting today, then I run off with the comments that I want to make on them. Matthew chapter 13, verse 22. Now here, Jesus was speaking about the parable of the sower, which we all know about the sower that went out to sow, and he sowed seeds in different places, and they had different results. Now, at a point, he began to interpret the parable, and then what I want to bring out is verse 22. He said, "And the one on whom seed was sown among the thorns, this is the man who hears the word, and the worry of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful." There's just one word I want to bring out here: the deceitfulness of riches. You see, he's describing that some things can choke the word and prevent them from manifesting. That is, somebody hears the word of God and is setting his mind on walking by it, but that certain things come to choke the word and prevent the word from bearing fruit. And one of them, he said, is the deceitfulness of riches. I just want to say something briefly about that thing, about deceitfulness of riches, before we come. Well, as part of what we are teaching, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3, let me read this portion of the scriptures that we all know. I just want to read it in case somebody is following us and doesn't know it. Hebrews 11:3. It said, "By faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible." Now, I want to just say something briefly about this deceitfulness of riches thing, because it's important that we get it. What makes you a Christian, I say it all the time, one of the attributes of being a believer is that you are able to see beyond what is physical. Do you understand what I'm saying? That is, when something happens, you don't just respond like an average person and think that the reason why something is happening is because human beings desired it so. Not exactly. You know, or that things happen by accident. No. You don't look at things like that. You understand that the things that are were not made out of the things that are visible. That what happens can be explained physically quite all right. But the reality, the real reason why the thing happened is not explainable by physical things. But that in reality, there was a spiritual antecedent. Something happened in the spirit that caused that thing to now manifest on the earth. Do you follow what I'm saying? That's what makes you a believer. That's what we say. By faith, we understand. And my favorite example is the life of Saul, in which Saul died in battle, having been wounded by the Philistines, and then he now committed suicide on his own sword, okay? But if you read 1 Chronicles chapter 10, verse 13, the Bible tells us that so Saul died for his trespass which he committed against the Lord, because of the word of the Lord which he did not keep, and also because he asked counsel of a medium, making inquiry of it, and did not inquire of the Lord. Therefore, he, that is the Lord, killed him. That's what I want to understand. He said, "Therefore, the Lord killed him and turned the kingdom to David, the son of Jesse." That is, we saw there that David and Saul died under certain physical circumstances. But the reality is that there was an underlying thing in the spirit that caused him to die physically. And what was that thing? He disobeyed the Lord. He committed trespass against the Lord. He went and inquired of a medium, and for that reason, God killed him. See, when God is doing something on the earth, there is always, to the natural human being, a physical explanation. But what makes you a Christian, a man, a woman of understanding, is that you are able to see things and still be able to know that certain things are behind these things that are not obvious to the eyes. I hope you understand what I'm trying to say. So that's what makes us a Christian, what makes us Christians. Now, we're talking about riches. In the same vein, we understand that the movement of riches is not physically controlled. You know, I say this again and again because we have to understand it. That is why men At least this is one thing we are all aware of. Most people have not been taught about the blessing of God, but they are aware, maybe because of stories they hear and because of films they watch, local videos that are made. You have been made aware of the fact that men can go into cults and become rich. They can enter into the occult, and by virtue of the activities of the men in the occult, wealth is produced for their members. You follow what I'm trying to say? I've heard the stories again and again. One area that I believe, because of my understanding about life and the things of the spirit, is that people say that they turn somebody to money, and that they keep the man in a room, and then they call his name, money drops down from his mouth. I said, it doesn't happen. It is not true. They say, you shout and money falls down. Look, I hear all kinds of stories. The only thing is, I've never heard anybody that saw it. You know, they always hear that somebody said that they saw it somewhere, that it happened someplace that nobody knows exactly. But you see, when I examine it, I know that it really did not happen like that. But that what happened is that there is a force in the spirit that controls things and make favor, physically speaking. Now, that apparently now, favor begin to be shown to that man. So where everybody is bidding for a job, he gets it. When banks don't give people loans, he gets it. You understand? And when he defaults in repaying his loan, for one reason or the other, they forget to recover the things he used for as collateral. You understand what I'm trying to say? That is why you see such men, they seem to continue in doing a lot of evil. And you don't understand why on earth nobody seems to be able to arrest them. Because there is a force in the spirit that is causing those things to happen. Let me tell you what. Now, talking about the evil side, eventually one day, God will put a stop to it, and usually it takes the life of the person. In fact, some of them will have mortgaged their lives. You see, men, they seem to know when they are going to die. Not because God gave them a revelation, but because when they started the walk, it was an agreement that was reached. Do you follow my point? Now, I'm trying to explain that. So men have come to understand that about riches, but unfortunately, Christians don't seem to be aware of it. That wealth, again, is produced by the spirit. It's not produced by the physical flesh. You see, take, for example, wisdom. Wisdom is a gift that God gives people. And based upon the wisdom that God has given them, they can do things, they can produce wealth. That's why I told the children of Israel, he said, thou shalt remember that it is the Lord thy God that gave you the power to get wealth. Do you understand my point? It is not inherent within you. There is a force in the spirit that is forcing money to move in your direction. Now, when we're talking about deceitfulness of riches, what happens is that a lot of people misunderstand how riches move. There are many ways by which riches are deceitful. Do you follow? One of the main ways, I believe, is this issue of the source of it. A lot of people think that it's by my striving, it's by how much effort I put in, that I will be able to make wealth. So the riches have deceived the person. They tell you, okay, work morning till night. Don't sleep. Why should you sleep? Men are making money, you are sleeping. You know, somebody was telling me about one very big man in this country that one of his friends was working for. So the guy explained that, okay, please, I want to go home. So the man looked at him like, go home for what? When there's money to be made? I better jump into the plane. Let's go to East Africa. Very big guy. You know, guys move around by private jets and all that. The guy looks at him, okay, this man won't kill me. He was paying him a lot. Now, I'm just telling you to let us know that some people think that it's the amount of effort you put in that brings money in your direction. That is what is called the deceitfulness of riches. One of the many ways by which riches deceive people. But if you read them Psalm 127, he said that the Lord gives to his beloved even while he sleeps. He said, it is vain for you to rise up early, verse 2, to retire late, to eat the bread of painful labors, for he gives to his beloved even in his sleep. Psalm 127. I hope you are following what I'm saying. Now, I want us to understand that as a Christian, you must know that what moves wealth, what moves money physically, is controlled in the spirit. It is not something that happens physically. I hope you understand what I'm trying to say. We have to understand that, and that's what we have to deliver ourselves from, that issue of deceitfulness of riches. Because, you see, if you don't realize that, there are times that God will make demands of you. You understand what I'm saying? By his word. And you will have loved to obey, but because you have misunderstood the way riches move, you don't obey God. Do you follow my point? But God will say, oh, that you will have hearkened unto me. Then your well-being like you will have been like a river, and your prosperity like the waves of the sea. Are you getting the point I'm making? And that's what makes us Christians. That's what we need to know, that as Christians, as we walk, so that we do not walk like the Gentiles walk. Do you understand my point? Like Jesus, when he was teaching, he told his disciples, he said, you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things shall be added unto you. He said that these things the Gentiles seek after. You know, my issue, if you read some of the things, like when we're taking our announcement, we explain. Is it the only announcement we said about the things that we are preaching kingdom word, that children of God must be differentiated, separated from people of the world by virtue of the way they live, the principles they walk by. You see, let me tell you something about faith. Again, we have discussed it before, but faith is very strong. Like we said, most people don't walk according to what they see. In fact, that's the way life is. You walk according to what you believe. It's not according to what you see. My good example is ozone layer. You have never seen ozone. How many of you have seen ozone here? I was in Benin teaching this morning. I still told them that. You have never seen ozone. But they tell you that ozone layer is being depleted. Yet, policies are made because ozone layer is going to be depleted. Yet, 99.9995% of people on the earth don't know anything about ozone. Whether it grows on palm trees, you don't know. Do you understand my point? That is the issue about faith. You accept something that you were told because you believe the source of the information. And when you are a child of God, like Jesus was saying in Mark chapter 11, he said, have faith in God. That is, you can have faith in many other things. But as a child of God, your faith must be in God. That is, when God says something, you hold what he has said and determine to walk by that thing as the source, or let me say, as a guideline for your movement. You understand the point I'm making? That is, if God says that there is something in the realm of the spirit, like, let me give you an example. Jesus said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Now, that is a revolutionary statement if the people didn't know anything about the spirit realm. Do you understand my point? That is only sensible to the man that is in the spirit realm. You understand the point I'm making? That is, you see, those are things that show that you believe that there is a realm that you do not see, but you are sure is there. I hope you are getting the point I'm making. That's what makes you a Christian. You follow the point I'm making. So when Jesus would say something like we're discussing last time, he said, lay up treasure in heaven. To the natural man, there is nothing. Look, there is no heaven. How can you lay up treasure there? Do you follow what I'm saying? Now, if you remember last time, we saw what David was saying. He was saying that, and that was Psalm 73, I think. Where did we read it from again? Can I remember now? Psalm what? Okay, 73. He said that, God, you are the only one I have in heaven. And on this earth, I do not desire anybody else. That is, you are in heaven, but your impact is felt on the earth. So I don't need anybody else. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Though you reside in heaven, but you control the activities on the earth, so I don't need anybody else. Now, I want you to understand that. Now, so what we are saying is that if there is something in heaven, though we can't see it, but we know it is there, and the impact of that thing will be felt where? On this earth. And that's what we were teaching last time about laying up treasure in heaven. Because, you see, it's just like putting money in a bank. I tell you, don't put your money in UBA, put it in Union Bank. Don't put it in Afribank, put it in First Bank. That's what Jesus was saying. Don't lay up treasure on the earth. Lay it up in another bank, which he called the Bank of Heaven. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? And in both cases, you can draw your money when you need it. But in one case, thieves can break in and steal, so that when you get there is nothing again. And you know what they call, what do you call it? Moth. Rust. It can rust, and moth can destroy it. Moth and rust is very practical. Put your money in the bank. Inflation is moth. Inflation is rust. Inflation. You heard of inflation? It happens all over the world. There's no way you don't find inflation. That's just it. It's against spiritual principles to keep money down. You can't pray it away. You cannot pay enough tithe to rebuke that devourer. Do you understand what I'm going to say? That if you lay up treasure on the earth, you can't say, I have given God his portion. You know, that's one thing. That's why we are doing this series, so we can understand some things properly. You cannot say, I've given God his portion, so I will lay up treasure on the earth so that moth will not destroy and thieves will not break in and steal. No, it's a principle on the earth. Once you lay up treasure on the earth, even if you give God 90%, the other 10%, you and moth will share it. And the only one you get is the one you use or the one you eat. Once you lay it there, they keep eating. Now, these are spiritual principles. I want us to understand. I'm just trying to tie everything we said last time, because actually I intend to continue from where we stopped. Now, so last time we're now saying that according to the words of Jesus, when we're reading them, I think, open to the book of Luke. Let's just quickly read it again. Luke chapter 12, verse 16. And he told them a parable, saying, the land of a certain rich man was very productive. And he began reasoning to himself, saying, what shall I do, since I have no place to store my crops? And he said, this is what I will do. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years to come. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But the Lord said to him, but God said to him, you fool, this very night your soul is required of you. And now who will own what you have prepared or laid up? Says, so is the man who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. And he said to the disciples, for this reason I say to you, do not be anxious for your life, as to what you shall eat, nor for your body, as to what you shall put on. Now let me stop there, and then let's just jump down a few verses. Now in line with what he was still saying, he now told them, do not, he said, but seek his kingdom, and these things shall be added to you. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has chosen gladly to give you the kingdom. For this reason, sell your possessions and give to charity. Make yourselves purses which do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven, where no thief comes near, nor moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Now, I want us to, we examined this last time. Let me just say a few things. All right, so we can tie it up and leave this portion for now. We said, from what we have seen here, that treasure laid up in heaven does two things. It preserves treasure on the earth, and it preserves the life of the person that owns it. Now you see that there was this rich man, he laid up so much treasure on the earth, and God said, that is a grave mistake, that's an error. I don't allow it. If you're on the earth, you must constantly be productive. You cannot say, because I have made enough, I have not laid up for myself, I can stay on the earth. He said, at that point in time, you become a useless person on this earth. We'll talk about being fruitful and multiplying later. But I just want to chip it in here. That there is a law about the earth. If you are not adding to it, you will not last in it. Do you follow what I'm trying to say? Mike Murdock used to say something, that you are built for a connection. That you must be blessing somebody, otherwise you will not live long. If you see people who live for themselves alone, who cannot give to anybody, will not do anything to help anybody, fear for the person is not likely to live long. And let me tell you what, if it's a man, ladies, don't marry him. You will be a widow very early in your life. I'm telling you the honest truth. I'm telling you the honest truth. The person is not likely to live long. Those who live for themselves alone are not likely to live long. In fact, let me just continue speaking, and I hope my thoughts will gather together in line with what I want to say. You see, this principle of treasure in heaven, men who have succeeded on this earth, either indirectly or directly, they have learned it. A lot of them are not Christians. A lot are Christians, but you never know that they were Christians. And the second richest man in the U.S., this man's name, I don't know why it keeps escaping me. The man, who knows his name, please tell me. This time, and I won't forget again. This man is very rich. So I think he's not Buck or something. Who knows? Okay, nobody here reads anything. Okay, all of you read Bible and your normal work. Okay. Anyway, the man owns an investment company. Very, very wise man. I think he should be in his 70s, 60s or 70s. All right? And of course, he made a lot of money. He makes very wise investments. People commit all their lives' resources to his hands. And the guy, he invests and makes money. He's the one that was, the man said that, they tell people, don't put all your eggs in one basket. The man said it's not true. Put all your eggs in one basket and watch that basket with all your life. Anyway, that's what he said. Now, what I want to say about the company that he owns and runs, it's part of their constitution. You know what I mean? The what sets up the company. Charity is part of it. There's a certain proportion of money. You give them your money, they make money with it. A certain portion of it doesn't get to you. It goes straight to charity. They have an enduring treasure in heaven. And you see, I said something last time, I'm going to go on to that. That treasure is always bought. Do you follow my point? You have to labor to have treasure. It's like that. If there's treasure in heaven, it doesn't come to you free of charge. There are things you do that give you treasure in heaven. I hope you understand what I'm going to say. I don't know whether today or sometime later, I will examine some of those things. If I can, I might put it in today, but I will not continue on it. I want to go on to something else. But definitely we'll examine it one day in details. There are things you do that will ensure that you have treasure in heaven. It is not... Look, I'm not... How do I say it now? I'm not preaching the gospel of works. Do you follow what I'm trying to say? But you see, faith that is not manifested by works does not exist. I hope you are following the point I'm trying to make. And God, Jesus himself, when he was teaching people, he said, if you will sell all that you have and give to charity, you have treasure in heaven. Now, that's not the only thing that gives you treasure in heaven. Do you follow my point? And let me just say this. I think I said it last time. God has given everybody, enough resources to buy all the treasure available for him or her in heaven. Do you get the point I am making? Let me just give you an example to explain what I'm saying. Because you see, the Bible says, to whom much is given, much is expected. Before God, if a Nigerian spends 1,000 naira to do something, an average Nigerian, before him, maybe it's equivalent to an American spending $500. It's possible. Now, if you convert it directly on human scale, it could be that $500 comes to about how much? Maybe about 70,000 naira. And this guy has already spent 1,000. But God knows how much 1,000 naira means to this person. That's why the widow came with her two mites. And Jesus said, this is all this woman had. And she gave it. So she had given more than all the other people. What I'm saying is that God has given everybody something with which to buy. That is, that woman giving that to was equivalent in the eyes of Jesus to that rich young man that came to him. If she had sold everything that she had and given to the poor, they would have been on the same level. That is, God will say that two of you just gave me the exact an exact amount of money, the same thing in heaven. What I'm saying is this. See, God has given everybody what he or she needs to buy treasure in heaven. Now, if that widow didn't give her two mites because she did not have, I hope you know she has bought nothing. Now, that's talking on money level. There are other ways by which people buy treasure in heaven. Let me give you an example. Don't worry, the righteous man falls 7 times. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let me give another example of another way by which you buy treasure in heaven. Matthew chapter 6. I was saying that people on this earth, they have learned it. And let me tell you something about life. Why you must continually hold on to God's word. I think I shared something along that line last time again. That you see, most of the things you hear are inaccurate. Are you getting what I'm saying? That's when you hear it on the physical level. And the reason is very simple. A lot of those who teach the things that they are saying don't really understand. Let me just read one portion of the scriptures and then I'll go on what I'm saying. Mark chapter 4. It said, verse 26, and he was saying, the kingdom of God is like a man who casts seed upon the soil and goes to bed at night and gets up by day, and the seed sprouts and grows up. How? He himself does not know. That's what I want to get out from there. Did you notice that? That a man can get results and not know how. Are you following my principle? Take somebody like Joseph. Joseph may have taught a school of how to become prime minister, and everything they learn there will be error. That is how you become prime minister. There was a time I saw this man, and he began to talk and talk and talk. Now, when we look at his life, we say, Brother Joe, all the things you have said is lie. Because it is possible for you to get a result and not know how. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? All he knows is that he sowed a seed. That's all the farmer knows. And God said that how the thing germinated and brought forth fruit, he does not know how. That's why I've told you before, when people are sharing testimonies, there's a way I listen to the testimony. Tell me what happened and the outcome. Sometimes I don't think it's a testimony. I think it's a story, you know? You can collect meals and bones and read it cover to cover. It's a story. It's not a testimony. Do you follow my point? A Christian can also write it. and read it out in, from the pulpit. It's a story. It's not a testimony. A testimony, this is where I understand it, must demonstrate God's faithfulness. And when you're talking about God's faithfulness, you have to understand what you, that we must know what he promised, that he has been proved faithful in doing. Now somebody comes to tell a story, say, can you believe it? Praise the Lord, oh brethren. Praise the Lord. Today one trailer was just passing there. And he just knocked down one tree. I thank God he didn't knock me down. Amen, amen. Go and sit down. I say, look, there are 1,000 other people this thing did not knock down. What's wrong with you? Why are you wasting our time here? Claiming you are sharing testimony. I'm not saying you should be thankful to God for your life. But when we're talking about testimony, it's supposed to stir up our faith. It's supposed to be something we'll meditate upon. I've gone to meetings with people, we will be testifying. And I just put my head down like this. That's one thing I liked about Winners Chapel when we were in Lagos. You don't just say, who has a testimony, you know? And they just give you a microphone. In Winners, no. If you have a testimony, the pastors are waiting outside to hear your testimony. So you go, you tell them your testimony, and they pray with you and thank God and send it back to your seat. They won't repeat it to anybody. That one, they know. They now pick a few. Okay, these are testimonies. And then they give the names of those people to the man coordinating, who will now call them up and not even give you the microphone. So what happened? You tell it. And the devil came in and said, what happened when the Lord came? You tell it, and then you go back to your seat. What I'm trying to say is that people can get results and not know how. That's why, you see, a lot of the errors we have currently being preached in the body of Christ is because a lot of the people that are preaching don't have understanding, but they have been given the microphone. I hope you are getting what I'm trying to say. Let me give you an example. It's very common amongst preachers, very in this area of giving, giving, giving. Most people that talk, they really don't understand how it works. And you see, they are preachers. No, I'm not saying this to run anybody down. I am a preacher also, you understand? Now, as a preacher, if you teach the word of God, you minister the word of God, and the Bible says you have the right to live by that. Do you understand my point? So God commands people to give back to you physically. Paul said that if I give to you spiritual things, I have a right to take physical things back from you. That's why Bishop Oyedepo said he does not ever tell anybody thank you. You can give him $1 billion, he won't say thank you. He said, look, this is his rule. He doesn't say thank you. That which thank you did he tell him when he was preaching? There's an exchange. I have blessed you. This is my own portion from your pocket. Look, the reason being that he said, when he was going into ministry, he and the Lord had a discussion. God said, make sure you always supply the word of God to people, and I will cause the people that have been blessed to give back to you. Now, it's very common amongst, that's how God ordained it. Paul said it very clearly. All the ones that people say that, but Paul used to walk. I said, listen, what about Peter? What about James? And Paul made it clear that, yes, I did, but it was not a normal thing. I did it because you guys didn't know anything. So I wanted to set an example. Do you follow what I'm trying to say? Uh-huh. You know, it's important we understand that thing. Now, so, a lot of those ministers now want to preach to those who are not ministers. But because they have not been taught by God in how these things work, they start trying to impose the principle that works in the life of a minister upon people. Let me give you an example. You start giving testimony. Somebody just brought $100,000 to me. Somebody gave me $500,000. And your church members start waiting for people to give them money. And nobody gives them money. Nobody will give you anything. You can sow all the seed you want. Nobody will give you anything. Why? You're not a preacher. Why should they give you something? If it happens, it's once. It will hardly ever happen. Most people that will give you things will give you a card and orange juice, you know, things like that. The reason being that God probably has made you an author, for example. He said, right, I will cost your book to sell 10 million copies. You're sitting down there waiting for a breakthrough. You are writing an application, waiting for a breakthrough. God will keep on giving you $10 here and there just to sustain so that you won't die until you finally wake up. No, these are sound principles. Are you following the point I'm trying to make? You see, so you see, a lot of people don't understand how it works. So they keep, look, I was listening to one woman on TV, on TBN the other day, and she was explaining about how people should give, how she was having a lot of problems. Then the day her husband sold $1,000 seed, and that was, I just said, look. Because you people are rich, doesn't give you the right to confuse the whole world. What I mean by, as a nation, America has a lot of resources. So you can broadcast error all over the nation, all over the world. This is not right. You are telling me that people who have emotional problems, that's what you are saying, without using those words, that they should go and take $1,000 and give, and that will be the end of their problem. It doesn't work like that. You can get a result and not know how.
Your prayers went up to God. Do you know when it started? You didn't tell us that whole thing. The manifestations of God are usually very unique. That is why I'm happy that what I do is teach. You see, because if you see, the Bible called God the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. It didn't say God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The reason being that when you watch the life of Abraham, there is a unique way God related with him, which he didn't use with Jacob, which he did not use with Isaac. Are you following what I'm trying to say? I want you to understand that thing. People can get results and not know how. That's why God ordained some to be teachers. Some of the most brilliant people can't teach anybody anything. They just don't have the ability. But they're very brilliant. They know what they are doing. I mean, like somebody was saying, most that before, I'll link to one preacher. He said, before you started building business schools, people were doing business and they were successful. You say Mike can hardly read or write, but he's building great empires, but he may lack the ability to teach the principles. Sometimes he himself does not even know how. That's why you have to stick with God's word, because those people that you listen to up and down, they confuse you. Because a man will get up today and say, hey, amen, God told me to sow this seed, and the next day everything opened. I say, ah, okay, I heard. So all of you sow the same seed. I just say, bro, it doesn't work like that. Manifestations are hardly repeated. Go and read your scriptures. Go and read it. How many people did Elijah take their last bread and their food did not finish? In the whole Bible, how many? One. And say, this is the mystery of divine supply. It's not a mystery of the divine supply. It's for you to be blessed and to work hard. Both of them put together, God's blessing upon what you do will bring you divine supplies. You don't. Anyway, what was I saying? Oh, Yenkachiku, you were the one that led me here. What was I saying before I got there? I can't even remember where I started from. But I was trying to explain that people can have results and not know how. And that's why you have to be careful. A lot of people who teach, some things they lay emphasis on. Yeah, okay, that's what I'm trying to say. And not even the real things that brought them results. Some of them, it was one old man that they helped somewhere that they don't even remember. But like Joseph, like Job said, he said, the blessing of the one about to perish came upon me. Are you getting what I'm saying? If you don't understand that, you are going to, look, you are talking about a business, be sharp. Ah, this guy is not sharp. And you think that you are getting results because you are sharp. You don't understand that there is an attitude you had that somebody released a blessing upon you one day, and that attitude is still with you, but you don't realize that is what is just steering, that's oiling your engine. The other guy too is trying to drive the same kind of engine. His own is always knocking, doesn't have oil. But you don't understand. You get the point I'm trying to make. He said the earth by itself produces, but the man who is getting the result does not understand how. That's why we must always come to the scriptures. That is a pillar of truth. This is where truth is. I don't care what anybody says. I was teaching yesterday in Benin. I told them, anybody can say what they like. That is not good to beat children. I have read in the Bible that a cane is good for a small child. You can do all kinds of research that you want. Prove to me that all the criminals were beaten by cane. I don't care. I read in the scriptures also that a cane, it drives foolishness very far away from the heart of a child. Very soon, I'm going to buy my son a present to be a king, so that anytime I lift it up, the guy will know matters are serious. How do I know that it's good? I read in the scriptures. You can do all your studies, you know. don't let me digress too much. I've watched science change their minds too many times. I have watched them change their minds too many times for me to be relying on what other pure science or social science tells me. No. If you are going to say something that I will believe, it must be in accordance with the word of God. He said, to the law and to the testimony, if they don't speak according to this word, it's because they have no light. So anything you say that's disagreeing with the scriptures, then I know that you don't have light. You know, now, if you read with understanding, you know, I bought a book when I was coming from Benin. It's a history book on the fall of the Roman Empire. I wanted to read it, not for any other reason, that I know that I would discover some spiritual principles in there. Now, the man writing is just writing history. And he will not lay emphasis on some things that will lay emphasis on. Like, let me give an example. Maybe somebody is telling a story. If the story of Saul was not written by God, by the inspiration of the Almighty, the way they would have written it is that there was a king in Israel. One day he died in battle because those guys had been lax in their military strategies. Said this king, you now say in passing, one day we heard that, can you believe that a prophet said that God rejected him? And you continue. Now, he will spend 10 chapters discussing errors in military strategies and make a passing comment on the fact that God rejected him. But if with understanding, you take that line and say, this is the secret. Without understanding, you go around broadcasting military strategy failure, why you should beware of military strategy failure. But the real weight we know is that the words were framed by what? The word of God. No, see, when I was reading, I was telling last time that I read this man's book, Robert Kiyosaki, that's a Rich Dad, Poor Dad. The man explained why people should make investment. No, I didn't realize that the guy was a Christian, so I was just reading the book. All right? I was just reading the book. And then, okay, you know, along the line, the emphasis was, when people say there is a casting down, you should always say there is a lifting up. He didn't use those words, but he said that when they say the economy is depressed, save your money. He said that's the wrong time to save money. And let me tell you another thing. This is how people develop sciences. In a few years' time, that book will become a standard textbook in business schools. Are you following me? Now, when he wrote it, he was disagreeing with the principles of economists. But after people have gotten results by his principles, they will start studying that book as a textbook in business schools. Then suddenly the whole world will start telling you, when the economy is depressed, don't save, invest money. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Anyway, let me continue what I'm saying. So the man preached extensively on how to invest in real estate. But there was one point he made, which is where a lot of people don't even read properly. He said that, I'm using real estate because that's what I do well, and I know how to do it. That you don't have to do real estate. Do you follow me? Most people won't know that. They will be buying land everywhere now, not knowing that. That blessing that was upon that man doing real estate business may not follow you doing real estate business. Then along the line, he now said something. He was talking about the principle of giving. Now, he didn't call it laying out treasure in heaven. But when I got there, I said, oh, this man too, he knew about it. He said that he always gives. Now, you think the man is laying out treasure. But it says that he always gives. And he has found out that the more he gives, the more money he tends to make. And that if he's giving and not making money, he goes back to check why he's giving. He will find out that all the time, it's because he's giving to get money. And that way it doesn't work. When I read that, I said, this guy is not even teaching the scriptures. Yeah, the thing I've been saying, he's saying it now. That all these gifts so you can get does not get you anything. Read 1 Corinthians chapter 13 very, very well. It said, if I do something and it is not born out of love, even if I give my whole body to be burnt, he said, I profit nothing. All this one of gifts so that you can get, I've said it to Christians, it doesn't profit anything. Before I didn't used to say it, but now I've decided to be shouting loud. Because I was reading the book of Titus for certain reasons a few days ago, and I realized that Paul told Titus, he said, listen, preach so that you can shut the mouth of these people who are spreading wrong doctrine. I have made up my mind. From now, I'll start shouting loud. If anybody where I am shouting, this is the secret of your breakthrough, I come, oh God, boy, that thing you said is not correct. Because, you see, let's understand what they call prophetic manifestations, or what the Bible calls diversities of manifestations, by which God breaks through upon somebody. Doesn't mean that that's the way everybody lives. Have you ever heard in your whole Bible, read the cover to cover, that Solomon gave all that he had to God? So, in quotes. Yet, in the scriptures, who had as much money as he? Did you ever read that David gave all that he had to God until he was about to die? All the days that he lived, he didn't. Yet, this guy had prosperity so much that Israel didn't know about it until he came. You tell the story of one person, one widow, somewhere, who was about to die, and God just brought her out of deliverance, out of her the danger zone. So this is the principle. Come on, we have to preach a total gospel. I'm not saying people shouldn't give their last to God. No, I'm not saying they shouldn't. Jesus commended it. You follow my point? But I'm trying to get Christians out of this kalu kalu kind of business.
When I'm broke, I ask God something. He's a good slot machine. He always return abundance. Robert Kiyosaki was not even preaching, and he knew that he doesn't work like that. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? I don't know. Did I tell this story last time about this woman, Mary Kay Ash? Did you get it on the? Was it before? Was it before? Okay. When she was giving the money, she was not even thinking about getting. People said, if you give and you're not planning to get, you are not giving out of faith. You don't know what faith is. Somebody, I was listening to somebody, give, anytime you give, tie it to something. I said, yes, I tie my own to something. I tie it to the blessing, the life of the person who I'm giving it to. So if you are hungry and I give you 100 naira, I tie that 100 naira to a plate of rice. Go and eat a plate of rice. Wale Oke said, those who do things that count, don't stop to count them. You know when children are giving, you know it's a child that is giving. He's not a millionaire. That's why he's giving 10 naira and say, God, this 10 naira, hey, look, millionaires don't do that. You know, it's poor men that do such things. It's poverty mentality. Real people who are working with God, when they drop you a millionaire, they don't remember. Because he has gotten himself into a place where he can't be counting. Anyway, let me go on what I'm saying. Now, so even in the world, in quotes, those who understand know that there is what is called treasure in heaven. And that you must take time out to lay up treasure there. Are you following my point? And I said that treasure is always bought. It is not acquired for free. Nobody is going to give you anything like that for free. But the thing is that the price of buying your own treasure, God has given it to you. Which is, again, we come back to faith. Let me give you an example. Abraham. When God jumped from the throne because of Abraham, it was because he was giving something that God gave to him. Are you getting what I'm going to say? Look, God will always give you something with which you will do business. When Jesus was telling the parable of the sower, this is how he always started. The king called the servants and gave to them first. He always gives to them first. What I'm trying to say is that there is something that God gives everybody with which you will procure treasure in heaven. And anytime you want to start out in life, like I was talking to my friends in Benin, I said, I would have loved to come and do a seminar for all the final year students as they are going, so that you won't go and become like, you go and set yourself into a cycle of poverty like everybody else is doing. You think your breakthrough will come out when you get a good job. And the moment you get a good job, you first show everybody you are doing well by buying everything that makes it look like you are doing well. But that is not the secret. That entirely is not the secret. You don't need a very good job. That's not your primary thing in life. That is not. God will set you in a place where he can bless you. And sometimes he's very slow in starting it. If he doesn't go slowly, everybody will follow him. And he said, narrow is the road that leads to life, and few they are that find it. Are you getting the point I'm making? Listen, the foundation of wealth on the earth, it's in the spirit. That's what I'm trying to get across to us in today and the one we did last time. That treasure in heaven must be your foundation. You must understand that if God blesses you, the idea of treasure in heaven is simple. Thieves can't break in there and steal. Moth can't destroy. Rust cannot enter. Banks cannot collapse on it. That's the idea. And when you are laying it up, when you are starting anything you are doing, make sure that part of your budget is how to lay up treasure where? In heaven. And let me just say it in passing now. We'll come back to it so that people can understand it properly. All right? The Lord always emphasized, give to the poor. You understand my point? Give to people. That, he said, when you do that, if I remember to the disciples, sell all that you have. He said, sell your possession and give to the poor. He told that rich young boy, sell all that you have and give to the poor. And that way you will have treasure in heaven. You see, the mistake we make on the earth is that you think that when things are lean. Now, I'll try and balance this thing, because you see, anytime you see an error being preached, it's just truth carried to an extreme. Do you get my point? When you stretch truth out of the normal place, it becomes error.
Why I'm saying this is that you hear me say things like, of course, there is a principle of giving and receiving. Do you understand my point? What I disagree on, like you were asking me last time, that seed time and harvest will not cease. I said, you have to understand something. That when the Bible uses types, you know what they call types? Types, all right? You use a tree to describe the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is not a tree. I hope you know that. But Jesus will tell you, it is like. It is like. Now, that's a type. So the type is the tree. The anti-type is the kingdom of God. All right? You use the type to type the anti-type. You understand my point? Yeah, okay. To illustrate the real thing, which you call the anti-type. Okay? Now, anytime there is a type being used, there is always a limitation. Because the Bible says that, like when I think it's in the book of Hebrews, it said these things are not even an exact representation of the things that are in the heavens. That's the way it is. Physical things are never exactly representative of the things that are in heaven. But they are a shadow. That shadow there is not my height. It's just where it's because of where the sun is coming from. And it's casting, and I'm not a flat person. The shadow is flat on the wall. That's the way it is. But then from this shadow, you can see. That shadow there is not my height. It's just where it's because of where the sun is coming from. And it's casting, and I'm not a flat person. The shadow is flat on the wall. That's the way it is. But then from this shadow, you can see that I have two hands and my hands are moving. Alright? You can easily say that. You can detect that I have a head and you can see part of my ear depending on how I turn. But you cannot identify me when you see me really because you saw my shadow. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is the way the principle of types are. Anytime God gives a type, there is always a limitation to what the thing is typing. Good example. Jesus was called the Lion of the tribe of Judah. You and I know he's not a lion. He's not a lion. He doesn't have four legs. You are getting what I'm trying to say? Jesus will tell you, be wise as serpents. At the same time, be harmless as doves. How can you be a serpent and a dove at the same time? Is it possible? But it is practical here because you take a bit of the serpent and take a bit of the dove. You are neither a serpent nor are you a dove. So, harmlessness is in the dove. So be harmless like the dove. Be wise as serpents. But serpents are harmful. So don't... Don't grab that side of the type. Are you getting my point? And there is a simple way to define the limits of the type in the scriptures. You know the limit? Whatever it says, don't use anyone beyond the one it has said. If it said, be harmless as doves, don't behave like the dove any other way apart from being harmless. If it said, go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise. Who, not having a head or this and prepares his food in summer. Make sure that you are diligent also, period. Don't move around in circles like ants. Ants are very, very senseless beings. Do you get my point? The only thing that God gave them to type for you is what? Diligence, period. Have you ever seen God setting up a thing without a head? What I mean is that there must always be a head. So they didn't have a head and they behaved. But that's not God's ideal. But in the area of diligence, copy the ants. Are you getting me? Ants in my house, I trouble. Don't go and trouble somebody else. If I see ants in my house, they annoy me. Don't go and be harassing somebody in this house. That is not a good one of ants. What I'm saying is that the principle of types is limited to what? What is stated. So when we're talking about sowing and reaping, it is a fact that what you sow, you will reap. But then there are areas we carry to an extreme. Maybe I should leave this for another. Well, let me just keep talking, okay? Let me just keep talking. Like to tell you that, let's, for example, talk about the issue of motive. God said, I, the Lord, I test the heart. Am I right? It's there in the Bible. I think, Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 10. It says, I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind. Even to give each man according to his ways. According to the results of his deeds. That is, I first look into his heart. I know why he's doing what he's doing. The reason he's doing them. So if somebody is giving just because he wants to get, what does that tell you? God knows. And as far as God is concerned, he has not given anything. He said, behold, God is not mocked. That is, you have to understand, you can't fool God. So look, that's why I don't understand when people start saying some things like, somebody said, pray for me. Say, pray, you don't need prayer. Go and drop a seed. That when you sow, I was watching a world-renowned man of God say it. I went somewhere, they told him to pray that they needed money. He said, no. Supplies don't answer to the principle of praying. Supplies, it answers to seed. I shook my head. I said, see? He said, you have not because you ask not. Is that not clear that supplies answers to praying? He said, no. If you want to have, you got to sow. I said, this bro. I shook my head. That is where we carry the thing beyond what the Lord was saying on the principle of seed and harvest. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Supplies answers for goodness sake to praying. Whatever you shall ask. Is that not what he said? You have not because you ask not. I mean, come on. When you ask, you receive. He said, ask and you shall receive, that your joy might be full. When Jabez prayed and God increased him, what did he sow? He just knelt down and prayed. Somebody comes open his mouth and says, supplies don't answer to prayer, they answer to seed. I said, seed you sow for like that, don't ever germinate. They die. That means they die permanently. Not that they die and then resurrect. That one dies permanently. Because God is not mocked. He looks at your heart when you are sowing seed. We'll talk about the principle of sowing properly. But let me just say something. That you see, when you are talking about sowing and reaping, it's like everything that goes on must come down. It's a fact of life. In fact, when you start tying your seed to a harvest, when you are killing the seed, if you have just dropped the seed and not worry about it, because you see, like I told you, sowing and reaping is a type of giving and receiving. They are never absolutely accurate in the same thing. Let me give you an example. If I sow corn, what will I reap? Huh? I'll reap corn. Oh, very good. So Christians misunderstand and say, if you sow dollar, you reap dollar. Meanwhile, it doesn't work like that. What did Solomon sow when he reaped plenty of wealth? He just asked God, give me wisdom. God saw the concern he had for the people and for fulfilling his ministry. Based upon that, God gave him an abundance. Are you following what I'm saying? Are you getting my point? Let me tell you something about mercy. Mercy is a spiritual thing. So if you use the type properly in the realm of the spirit, it might be correct. If you show mercy, you receive mercy. But you can show mercy by giving a hungry man money to buy food. Then you receive mercy in being delivered from death. Don't tell me what you sow, you reap, literally. You are carrying the type too far when you do it like that. So we used to, when we were in school, brethren do all kinds of things. You want a Big Dick's Bible, you go and buy a Gideon's Bible and give to somebody. And when I sow, I will reap. And my reap, God will just give 100 Gideon's Bible if you want to leave. No, it's true. If you want to use it as literally as you are carrying it. Like one of my friends will say, I don't have a car yet, but I have a spare tire. So you go and carry a spare tire and sow to somebody's life. No, listen. It doesn't work like that. It doesn't work like that. What works? This is how the two connect. Every time you sow a seed, you are laying up treasure in heaven. Do you understand my point? And listen, you don't lay it up because you want to make withdrawal. Do you go to a bank and deposit money because you need to take money? That is, when you need money, you go and put money in the bank. Do you get my point? If you are a saving type, it's just a lifestyle. You go and drop money there. When you have money, you drop it there. Then when you need it, you go and get it. So all this one of telling you, give when you are in need, is not what God is saying. We'll see exactly what the Lord is saying. What he's saying exactly is a matter of faithfulness. Faithfulness. Let him know that he can trust you, and let him know that your life is not tied to material things. And most of the time, when you tell people, look, detach yourself from this thing by giving it, what he's trying to do is to bring faith out of them. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? I'm still trying to finish what I was saying before on treasure in heaven, right? So because some of these things we have to settle down and go through them line by line so that we'll understand that when we are talking about movement of wealth in the realm of the natural, we should know that it's controlled in the spirit. And let's deliver ourselves from this poverty mentality of when I need 20 naira, I go and give 2 naira. No, that's not what God is saying. Most people who preach it like that, they just want to collect the money first. That's their own. Do you understand my point? It's your problem whether you receive or not. But I don't think it's right. I don't think we should do that. So like I was saying, those who maintain the habit, those who understand this principle, you will know that in life, what you do constantly as part of living is to constantly lay up your treasure where? In heaven. And like I said, that treasure in heaven, treasure in whichever form must be bought. Do you get my point? And there are many ways by which you buy treasure. One, like Jesus said a number of times and we have read it today, is that when you give out of what you have to those who do not have, what you have done is that you have laid up what treasure in heaven. That is one. But there are other things. I told you to open somewhere that time. We did not read. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Remember it? Good. Now sometimes we misunderstand what he's saying. But then we should... Matthew chapter 6. Verse 5. For when you pray, you are not to be as a hypocrite. For they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners, in order to be seen by men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. That is when men see them, that is the reward. Okay? Again, you see that, I'm very happy we even read this. You see that the same act is judged by God. Alright? Depending on the motives behind the doing of those acts. Can you say that again? You know, I've never even connected this until now. You can see here, it says, this man went to pray. But he went to do it publicly so that he can be seen by men. That is the motive for which you are doing the thing. It's important. So God says, see that my son, he has come to sow 1,000 naira so that I can give him back 10,000. See, I will not give him anything. He profits nothing. It's clear. Then he now went and said, how do you do yours? But you, when you pray, go into your inner room. And when you have shut your door, pray to your father who is in secret. And your father who sees in secret will repay you. Now, I want you to note something here. What does the King James say? I think it says we'll reward you or something like that. They will reward thee openly. Okay, good. There's a reason why I use that word reward. He said they have their reward in full. He said he will reward you openly or he will repay you. Notice this. He said they are praying. And that God will reward the prayer. Now, notice that he didn't say God will answer. Have you connected that? Because if he said God will answer, it's a different matter. And let me tell you something. He knew what he was saying. He was not confused as to the terminologies. He said it's a repayment. That is, that prayer was an investment. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is, this person praying this prayer was praying a kind of prayer that was not for himself. Get my point? Because if he had gone to God and said, God, give me food that I might eat, and God gives him food, it's an answer. It's not a reward. That's what I call prayer with reward. I'm talking about laying treasure in heaven. It's not only buying, that's by using cash, giving out money and material things that you lay up treasure. But you can sow a seed of prayer. Do you understand my point? I will explain that in a moment. Now, because you see, he was talking in a context here. Notice that whatever prayer it is was being said publicly so that the people could gain approval. So it must be a prayer that interested those who are hearing it. Now, this is my own deduction. If you see further down in verse 10, when he was teaching them, he taught them to pray for the coming of the kingdom. Thy kingdom come. Do you follow? Now, if you follow the life of Jesus, the life of John, and those of their disciples, no, they are disciples in common. Some were disciples of Jesus. The moment they pronounced him, this is the one to come. They just abandoned John and said, Master, where do you stay? And they followed him to his house. You will notice something. In their hearts, something was strong throughout.
And that was the restoration of the kingdom back to Israel. Are you following me? Because when Jesus died and rose from the dead, what did they ask him? Will you at this time restore the kingdom back to Israel? That tells you something. These guys were waiting for it. And let me just say this. I don't know whether it's appropriate at this time, but it's flowing. So let me just say it. Okay? John the Baptist was a prophet. Am I right? He prophesied concerning the kingdom of God, the coming of it. But you are sure he didn't know what it was going to look like. I mean, I'm happy most of you know that. For those of you who don't, after he watched Jesus, you know, he said, this is the one to come. This is the Lamb of God that takes away. After identifying Jesus very well, then one day sent a message to him. Cousin J, are you the one to come? Or we have to expect another one? You're following what I'm saying? Now, if you bear it in mind, therefore, that those disciples were formerly disciples of John, then tells me something. He was expecting a restoration of a kind of kingdom also that was tangible. My understanding is that they thought they were going to throw away Roman oppression and go back to the days of David. Do you understand my point? Now, among the things they used to pray for was to pray for the restoration of this kingdom. I hope you are following me. That's why the disciples of Jesus went to him and said, teach us to pray like John taught his disciples to pray. There was a way they prayed. If you see, you know, the way is like a school of prophets. At a point in time, the prayers became like chants. Do you understand my point? They would just recite it. Repeat those words because they are looking out for something. I'm bringing out the point here. That when he was saying, when you pray, pray in secret and your Father will give you a reward for the prayer you have prayed. Let me tell you something. God always rewards whatever it is you do for him on the earth. Anytime God wants to do something on the earth, he sends somebody. He uses somebody. And when the person has done it, he gives the person a reward. For example, he told Jeremiah, at this point, don't ask great things for yourself, because all I will be able to spare for you is your life. He said, I will give it to you as a booty, as a reward for participating with me in this endeavor. Everybody else around you will die, but because you are with me, I will spare you. That's why I said, they will be mine, says the Lord, in the days that I make up my jewels. He said, I will spare them as a man spares his own son that does what? Serves him. It's a reward. I hope you are getting my point. God always rewards what people do for him on the earth. And when he wants to do something, we'll talk about prophecy before. And that, you see, if you see the way prayer goes and prophecy, they are closely interrelated. So God wants to do something and he tells them, okay, you guys, you will begin to pray. All right? For this thing that I'm about to do. You will prophesy, kingdom of God, come. Everybody that will prophesy according to that is saying they will have a reward. That's treasure they are laying up in heaven. If you read Revelation, you said that the angel was filling a bowl. He said, what is inside the bowl? He says, the prayer of the saints. It was not God, I'm hungry, give me food of the saints. That's not the prayer he's talking about. Why should they pour that one in a bowl? So you will die of hunger before the bowl is full. I hope you are understanding what I'm saying. So when you are talking about treasure in heaven, it's not just with cash. I'm explaining something here. Because you see people who are blessed. Most of them, you don't know why they are blessed. A lot of them, they don't even know why they are blessed. Some of them is a passion. Let me tell you something. Okay, let me see what I want to say before I tell you what I'm saying. Some of them is a passion with which they are praying a particular prayer for somebody, for an organization, for a nation, for the kingdom of God. That is what God is using to pour oil, pump crude oil out of the ground for them. Are you following what I'm saying? That is why he said, great peace have those that love you, Jerusalem. Are you getting my point? He said, pray for peace, the peace of Jerusalem. And he said, how does that scripture go again? Anyway, you understand the scripture I'm saying? It was talking about the fact that let them prosper that love you, that pray for your peace. That the person stand and is praying for the peace of Jerusalem. And, you know, some men misunderstand that scripture. That's why they came to Lagos many years ago and told Christians to face the east. That is where Jerusalem is. And pray for peace in Tel Aviv or Jerusalem, whatever
that Nigeria will be blessed. I said, he said, but all the Lagosians were looking like, what's wrong with it? I said, come on, make the GO come bless us, Joe. That's what? You know, it was at a redeem camp. My friend who went there, when the man was saying it, they were just looking at him like, what has that got to do with my child that is sick? I believe that pulpit likes the GO come and bless us. Now, and it was a white man, maybe a Jew. You know, we make that mistake. People say that when you bless a Jew, God will bless you back in return. If you want to understand, go and listen to our series. Understand the new covenant. I don't want to digress into that. You will know that it's a perfect misunderstanding. Paul said this is the revelation that was kept, that nobody knew until I came. That the same God is rich unto all that call upon him. There is no difference. He said there's no longer Jew or Gentile. All are one man in Christ Jesus. That is, if I look, that means, remember what he said? You pray this prayer where? In secret. You see a brother, a sister who's having problems. You don't tell her, ah, sister, brother, I'm praying for you. But on your own, you kneel down and say, God. God said, you have your reward. All right, so like I was saying, so what we are saying here, we are talking about prayer that nobody knows you are praying. But it's for a cause that is righteous. It's not for you. That's not what we're talking about. It builds up treasure in heaven. I was telling you, I read a book recently. That book I was telling you about that woman, Mary Kay Ash. And I was reading her life. It was just a cosmetic merchant. So my wife has the book, so I was reading it. And I picked a lot of spiritual lessons from it. The woman founded a company not to make money, but to empower women like her. She resigned from her last job after somebody she trained had been promoted over her. Somebody she taught the job and paid double her salary. Because she's a man, she was a woman. And she said, this is not fair. That if we work hard, we should be rewarded. Do you understand my point? So she's decided to found the company. A month before they were supposed to start, the husband, while trying to put some papers together for her, suddenly had a heart attack and died. She said, "Alive, we are going ahead all the same." And founded the company. By the time she was dying, about almost 40 years later, she was an elderly woman, somewhere between 80 and 90s. I don't know the exact age. By that time, the company was turning over billions of dollars annually. And she's the main person that owned it. If I remain the family business. Are you getting my point? But the reason she started it was not to make money. You see, that is why a lot of people try things and they don't work. You are not trying to fill any need. You are trying to fill your pocket. And because wealth is controlled spiritually, are you following me? That's why it doesn't seem to work. The person tries everything, attends every seminar, but God said, you have not because you ask not. When you ask for wrong motives just to satisfy your own lust. That's why I don't answer you. Companies that have grown very big succeeded because they set out to meet a need. Are you getting me? I'm talking about prayer, the treasure in heaven. That this is not to fill your pocket. That's why I remove every, as I'm talking to you, mentally I have removed every copyright from my book. Just acknowledge the source. You can reprint it. And you here now, you here, can decide to go and reprint it and say, I'm coming to my village. Okay, your own is too expensive. This one that I reprinted is 59 a copy. I will shake your hand and bless you from my bedroom. I'm not joking. Because I found out those who make impact in this life are those who God bless in this life are those who are just doing things to make an impact. I told you I read the story of Guinness. When Guinness set out to start Guinness, it was not because he wanted to start making drinks. It was because he saw all the Irishmen, his brothers, on the streets drunk. Their children were fatherless because the fathers were drunk. And he used to cry to God. And God spoke to him one day, make a drink that men will drink instead of whiskey. I told you, legend can try all he wants. The kingdom was given over to Guinness. Even their descendants, no matter how much they pervert, it will take a long time for the blessing to wear out. All of you know, you want to go and buy a pen, I said, please, buy me a Bic there. Buy me a Bic. Buy me a Bic. Bic did not invent the ballpoint pen. Shaving stick, all those are things that men have to pay a lot of money for. So this man said, why can't it be very cheap? You can imagine that today you are buying a pen for 10 naira in Nigeria. Calculate that in dollars to tell you how cheap it really is. Can you imagine? That's what this guy wanted to do. Why can't everybody just buy this thing, finish using it and throw it away? Must we guard it jealously? Now, the man who invented the pen, we have forgotten his name. Bic is the one we know because it's the number one selling writing material on the earth. You get my point? That is, they saw a need, decided to invest in people's lives, and as they were doing it, they were laying out treasure in heaven. And that treasure kept on generating treasure on the earth. Kept on generating treasure on the earth. I heard the story. I didn't read it. Let me just say, I read it, all right? Because things I didn't read directly, I like to say that, so in case I quote it wrongly. Of John D. Rockefeller, the story. You know Rockefeller? The man made so much money. The guy had a lot of money. Oil man, Standard Oil, in the U.S., he was making money. But he was a mean businessman. He was mean. But his farm produced a lot of goods, just like that rich old fool here. And the farm was producing a lot. But he was such a mean man, I heard that when he would go to church, bodyguards used to sit around him. And then one day he took ill. I told you, treasure in heaven preserves the life of the person that owns treasure on the earth. The guy took ill and became very sick. I heard that doctors tried everything. And they said, oh boy, we can't help you. You can go home and go and relax. And he was relatively still a young man. Maybe in his 40s or so, or 30s, I'm not sure. So I think a minister now came to see him. And they were discussing. And the man told him to start giving. You know, just start giving. So John D. Rockefeller started giving. That's why till today, Rockefeller Foundations are still there, building libraries and stuff all over the world. Okay? Start giving. So the guy started giving. He kept on giving and kept on giving until he became well. And kept on giving and kept on giving. The guy died, he was 94, 98, something like that. A fit old man when he finally died. Before, he had no treasure in heaven. He was amassing treasure on the earth. Then one day, just like God said, when you are not rich toward God, your soul will be required of you. And God started discussing about requiring his soul. Just a discussion God was having with the angels, he became ill. Because the day God would make the verdict, he would die. Then God sent an angel. Because you see, if you go and read Eli, he said that you need an angel, a messenger from God to tell you. I mean, anyway, don't let's digress too much. But if you read around Eli, Job chapter 34, when it was said that the blessing a man should have is that in the time of his troubles, that God will send an angel to tell him where he has erred. If I can find it, well, just for completeness sake, let me just... when he was saying that God speaks once, but nobody on the listens. And twice. Talk about the hair, yeah. Job 33, read from verse 19. He will tell you, man is also chastened with pain in his bed and with unceasing complaint in his bones, so that his life loathes bread and his soul his favorite food. His flesh wastes away from sight, and his bones, which were not seen, stick out. Then his soul draws near to the pit, and his life to those who bring death. Are you seeing that? Next line. He said, if there is an angel as a mediator for him, that is a messenger, one out of 1,000, they are hardly found. That's what he's saying. What will he do to remind a man of what is right for him? That is, this is where you have erred. This is the mistake you have made. Now the product of his visit is, let him be gracious to him and say, deliver him from going down to the pit. I have found the ransom. Now, I want to paraphrase this. That is, this man is erring. If you read from verse 13. In 14, it says, God speaks once and twice, yet he does not notice. Then that's why God progresses to chastising him with pain in his bed. That's what happened to this man. Until a messenger of God came, an angel, and showed him what was right, he not only recovered, he lived to be 90-something. Why? Because at that time, the man was laying up treasure where? In heaven. Men who become great, women who become great on this earth, their greatness, if it will survive and be a son, that is, if you see it as a manifestation of the blessing of God, lasting for several generations, it will be because their emphasis was on laying up treasure in heaven. I said, laying up treasure in heaven, you give material things, that is true. So you pray a prayer, look, for example, you see what something is wrong in the body of Christ, and you don't discuss, it's not openly, brethren, you know, we've been praying for 15 days now, those of us who want to join us, is a lie, that one is nonsense. But either you alone or with your group, you keep in secret, and you are praying about something that you see, could be for a nation, Nigeria, and in fact, I was going to say that earlier, that listen, if you want God to bless you in this land, on any land, not only Nigeria, there is a principle you must observe. You must always seek the good of that land. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Go and see what God told them when he was carrying them to Babylon. When you get there, seek the good of the land. Pray for his prosperity. He said, because it's when the land is prospering that I will bless you. He told them, the place I'm scattering you to Babylon, when you get there, pray for the peace of that land. Seek the good. Pray for his prosperity. That is your only guarantee. Let me tell you what, I've always told people who talk too much nonsense and rubbish about Nigeria. Please take a visa and clear. Because if you continue like that, you can never be blessed abundantly there. God must see that your desire for the land is for his prosperity. Your desire for the land, your prophecies for the land must be for his prosperity. Based upon that, you acquire treasure in heaven. That's what he will pour upon you on this same land. If you are not seeking his prosperity, God will not bless you there. You have to understand that. Talking about different ways people lay up treasure in heaven. You pray for a people, you pray for a situation, you pray for a nation. There are people that, maybe for certain things about them, I know. They don't even know I know. But it's a burden to my soul. So every time I remember, you're getting the point I'm trying to make. Alright? Now, you understand what I'm going to say, but look, people who are getting blessed, most of them don't even know why they are getting blessed. That's why I'd rather take my instructions from the Word of God. Because the things that make for material blessing on the earth. I told you the story last time about that Mary Kay Ash woman. Who just said, okay, I will give the more. Whatever people give, I will double it. She did not know. She thought they were going to raise like $1,000. But it was God that told her to speak. When they raised money, it was over $100,000. I told the story a bit wrongly for you. Later, I want to confirm. It was 1 hour after she finally told them, don't worry, I will pay tomorrow. 1 hour, her phone rang. Who is it? Her son said, Mommy, this thing just happened. Anything you put your hand into turns to gold. The wells are breaking forth with oil now. So what? Your share in the first 1 month is over $100,000. It's over. She said when she took her contribution to church the next day, that she was a humble and trembling woman when she was going. That is like, she became afraid of God. That I know that what I'm experiencing, look, let me tell you, sometimes God will demonstrate to you. You yourself will know. I've told you that pride is a matter of ignorance. You don't know it's why you are proud. If you knew anything, pride would be far from your house. So when she got there, she was afraid like God. Hey, my God. You know, that's when I talk about tithes. I find it very funny. Tithes. To me, tithing as a principle is very, very, if you have understanding, is an obtuse thing. It doesn't make sense. You give 10% of your income to God because God doesn't own everything. If he did, you won't be negotiating with him on percentage. Men who have worked with God, it's not, you see, the mistake we make is that we think that giving to God is when you package the money and say, Pastor Banke, this is my contribution to Kingdom World Ministries. You think that is I've given to God. The man who is sitting down, the woman who is sitting down trying to empower thousands and thousands of lives. For your information, Mary, that they are counting, that Mary Kay company currently has over 2 million women worldwide working for them. A man is sitting down and building a solid company, and all that has in his mind is to produce a good product and produce a good life for his employees. Every hour he spends there is hour worked for God. You know, the stupidity of our current day Pentecostalism is that we have deified the building. Everything done in there is for God. If it's done outside, it's not for God. Meanwhile, the emphasis the Lord always laid in, help the fatherless, help the widow, help the poor. No. We don't lay that emphasis anymore. We put, I was talking to the brother in my church in charge of benevolence. The benevolence basket is at the gate outside. As we are leaving, that is welfare offering. I told him we will talk. I said, this is the wrongest place for it. I said, you know what is going to happen? We will see pastor. This thing must be preached from the pulpit. I said, if he gives me opportunity, I will do it. Not the one that if we want to buy something big for the church hall we are using, we will raise money from the pulpit. One is for charity and welfare. We'll go and put a basket at the door and put a notice on it. Please give to the poor. But when it's something, I will stand on the pulpit and be shouting, the Lord will bless you. Come and sow right now. How gospel is imbalanced. That's why everybody comes to church. What I'm trying to say is that they come to pay, whether God will help them, you know, you come and square God, you know, mafia boss, protection money. God, that's your tithe. The reporter is your business now. I face the other side. No, that's not what God is looking for. That is, you live your life thinking about empowering other people. That's what he's saying. That the prayer we are talking about that has reward definitely was not prayed for bread. It was a simple prayer, thy kingdom come. But those who were praying for the restoration of Israel, God said, if you really want to go to your closet, let me tell you something about anything you pray fervently for. Let me explain what I'm saying. If God says judgment is coming upon Enugu and you begin to intercede against the judgment, there are times you will not succeed in the intercession. That is, God will look and said, a destruction is determined, overflowing with righteousness. That is, if I don't do it, it will be unrighteousness. But you know what you do? You always get your life as a booty and the life of anybody you point to. That is, you sit there, you pray, and say, God, when you finish, God says, oh boy, sorry. But he will tell you, however, I will send a plane for you tomorrow. You will have 7 seats. You can take one, you take 6 people with you. And of course, let me tell you what. Those who the spirit of death have held on to, they won't answer you when you say, let's go. That's what happened to Noah. They won't answer you. You can say anything you want, they won't answer you. If you're a married man, you will order your wife into the plane, order your children with you, and beg your friends to come along. But because they can't see it, they will not come. And then as soon as you take off, God say, such were they in the days of Noah. They were eating and drinking until the day that Noah entered the ark. That was the day. Until the day that Lot left the city, that was the day. That's the way it is. No destruction ever takes everybody. God will always mark the people he wants to save. And listen, there is an account you can create with God in heaven. What happened to Cornelius? Why did God come to his house? As an angel told him, send for Peter. He said, your arms and your good works, that was what rose up to God. The Roman that Jesus desired to go to the house and go and heal the servant, they told him, this man has been very nice to our people. Treasure in heaven. Are you getting the point I'm making? Now, when we have our foundation solid, we understand the reason why wealth is created upon the earth. What empowers the wealth created and what it does? Let me tell you, you can never, never, ever be poor. Ever. Because you will be sowing your seeds properly. You will be laying your treasure in the correct places. Then if you get to Rwanda, you will be blessed. You get to Australia, you will be blessed. You get to America, you will be blessed. When you know you are blessed anywhere you go, you will now settle where you want to go based upon purpose, not because of comfort. Because you know if you go to Rwanda, you are blessed anyway. If you go to Botswana, you are blessed. If you're in Nigeria, you are blessed. If you go to Australia, you are blessed. If you go to America, you are blessed. If you go to UK, you are blessed. If you go to Hungary, you are blessed. Anywhere you go, you are blessed. So you will now sit down and make a choice on a blessed platform. That is, you choose because you are blessed. So this thing I want to do is best headquartered in Enugu. No, I think Accra, Ghana will be the best. You're not afraid of anything. God is protecting your life. Say, the glory of God will be your rear guard. That is when you are not looking. God is shooting. You know what I mean? Your rear guard. You're not looking. Anybody moves again, I'll be heading for your sake. You won't even know somebody died. Do you know the number of people that have died I don't know and they died because of me? I'm sure they must exist. A great man like me cannot be in the making and devil won't be working. It's frustration that's meeting him. That's why you see me every day. You are getting the point I'm making. By the time the people that were seeking the life of Jesus had died, he was still a young boy in Egypt. Didn't know anybody was seeking his life. You don't know. He was still a small boy in Egypt. I hope you understand my point. Therefore, as a child of God, you understand the worlds were created, were framed by the word of God. Seek the things therefore that are in heaven alone. Seek to lay up treasure in heaven alone. Well, I'm happy that the Lord has been able to bring out a few things to see how people, look, they are, when you do good to an elderly man, you are laying up. Look, and let me tell you what. One day I went to run an open house clinic. I was an NMA. I mistakenly got into NMA Lagos, executive NMA Lagos. It was a mistake. So one of the executive meetings, they said they had promised the old people's home there that they are going to have, they are going to send them a doctor for their clinic the next day. Their doctor had gone or something. So they said, okay, who is going to go? Who shall we send? Who will go for us? So I said, here am I, send me. Then that day I was going, there was this young boy, young chap then, I've forgotten his name now. It just escaped me. He was a Christian too. He was a house officer. He had a car. I said, boy, come, let's go and consult with old people. After grumbling, the guy followed me. When we finished that day, he said, chief, can we come back? It was free. Look, let me tell you what. Anything that is done out of liberty, that is, nobody is forcing you, just do it. All this one of give 10 naira so that God can give you. That's why you're not enjoying to give. If you give just because you just want to give, you will know the joy in doing it. By the time we got there, the criterion for coming for that clinic is that you have to be, I think, above 60 or 65. If you are below that age, don't allow you in. The people who were running it, who started it, one man there that was one of the big men sitting down, that man would probably be 80-something. They were the one that organized the clinic. And you see, just realize that the old people, a lot of them, they are alone, really. There was one woman, when she was talking with me, you know that money is not the problem. She would tell you, about 3 months ago, when I came back from London, and that's the kind of story she's telling you. And the doctor there said, I just realized that this woman's friend, all her kids are probably in London. And she's alone at home. That's why she's always ill. So I just learned that I just settle down and hear everything they want to say. About all I ever prescribed was a little bit of analgesic and a little bit of diazepam. Because they never had any problem beyond that. It's always knee pain or waist pain. They were essentially here. Do you know, by the time we finished that day, that guy looked and said, chief, can't we come back? He wanted, and we're not paid a dime. But let me tell you, if the people organizing tell you, young man, God bless you. When you are old, you will never be sick. That is why people just confess. Nothing happens to support their confession. No treasure anywhere. Living for themselves alone. I hope you follow what I'm going to say. Come on, the summary of how to lay up treasure in heaven, live for others. Live to make an impact in the lives of other people. And listen, you will have treasure in heaven. Let us pray. Let's just give God thanks for, again, what he has taught us today. How he has shown us what it is that we need to do so that we'll have treasure in heaven. Let's just give him thanks for that.